She was a poor woman, uneducated farmer. She married, was in a forced marriage, or excuse me, arranged marriage with a man 30 years older than herself. She was 18, he was 48. Khmer Rouge came. She had the tragedy of the Khmer Rouge period. But what I want you to know is that she had a son. She had a son. The daughter died of disease. The husband died during the Khmer Rouge period as well. He was very old. And the son survived the Khmer Rouge. And then the Vietnamese troops came in, and they took him and drafted him into the Vietnamese army, occupying army, and he disappeared. He disappeared. So she lost everything. And this is in Lynn, Massachusetts, during oral history interview. She's a nun, a Buddhist nun. And when you meet her, Swang and I, we said she's like a shiny apple. She's smiling. She's so together. And we said, oh, this is going to be a really easy oral history, you know, because look how together she is, you know. So together. It was one of the most disturbing oral histories that we had. Because underneath this beautiful image of togetherness and well-being and meditation and such, it was a deeply tragic story. Deeply tragic story. Mostly around the disappearance of our son. And she's still in my mind. I still think about her. Swang and I think about her. Our colleague from the Ford Foundation who came up, interviewed her, still thinks about her. And she placed in her mind, in our mind, her story of the sun. And I'm going to read you a little bit about that. I only have a few more minutes to my talk, and I can't go through some of the beautiful quotes. But what's so impressive about the oral histories of how simple, ordinary people are such great poets, how the things that she says are so beautiful and so remarkable and so full of insight, you know, that it was a privilege for Swang and myself to be able to interview these women and most of the patients as well and the people I deal with. So let me go through. I mean, the brutal facts, I don't have time to read these, but basically she witnessed all of the killing of the killing fields, which as reporters I'm sure you're very familiar with, and tells from her own perspective her son being sent to a child camp, etc. Now, in the cultural meaning of trauma, I do want to read this one. I still have a few minutes left. I want to read this beautiful quote because one would never know that this was going on in her mind around her son having disappeared. So we asked her, you know, we said, Grandma, why, you know, what do you think is the story of your son having disappeared? And this is what she said. I think in my mind that perhaps in my previous life or in this life, I don't really know, I may have tampered with a young bird. The Cambodians believe that we have karma if we tamper with a baby bird and we will be separated from our beloved ones. You see? We have karma when we make the bird lose their feathers or if we take the young birds and play with them. I would say that maybe I did this in my previous life or in this life, and this is why I am separated from my husband and my child. That is what I tell people. This is the reason I try to do my best to do good deeds so I don't have karma. Because in this life, when I was young, I played with Trevi Day's young. This is a little bird, name of a little bird in Cambodia that live in burrows, you know. I played with Trevi Day's young in the burrows. I put my hand inside the burrow, and I took out its young and played with it. When I had enough, I put it back in. I don't know how many days I played with it or even how many months before I stopped doing it. At the time I was young and I was still running around and playing and still wearing a pair of shorts without any blouse, my upper part was bare. So this is the reason in her mind why her son disappeared and she lost everything. And she's telling this beautiful story. And then she goes on to say that in her revelation that if it wasn't for the meditation and being a nun, she would completely lose her mind. She would completely lose her mind. So she was very much aware of the fact that she was on the verge, 20 years later, of losing her mind, and she thought every day about her son and also her mother and father, which I'll mention in a minute. So this was very moving, of course, to us, and we had a very deep understanding of her loss, you know. And she was very aware of how she was dealing in her own life with this ultimate loss, you know. Now, around the relationship with the listener, she compared us to her parents. And this is very, very interesting because she also talks a lot about the loss of her mother and constantly thinking about the loss of her mother. We said to her in the interview, "How do you feel about this interview? What do you think about this interview?" "Please excuse me. I would like to tell you that I think maybe the doctor and myself will help me to stay well, I guess, and this is why I'm narrating my own story. When I was over there in Cambodia, I was frightened. When I got over here to this place and I got interviewed like this, which made me talk about my biography, it may be that the doctor can help me to survive, to live a long life, and to be able to adhere to Buddhist precepts for a long time. I am glad. I am not thinking about anything that is wrong with this interview." And then she goes on and talks about how we are her new parents. And is a beautiful, really wonderful description about how, through the interview, we became her mother and father. Just very moving, you know, to be in this relationship with someone like this, you know, and to have her say, you're my mother and father, and I love you, you know. And we ended up loving her. I mean, she's just really, I mean, I'm honoring her today, actually, by sharing with you her story. She was so important to us.